8th February 2005. Today our Dhamma talk will start with Kanka Vidrana Visuddhi. Kanka Vidrana Visuddhi is the fourth of seven kinds of Visuddhi. Kanka is a doubt. Vidrana is overcoming. Visuddhi is a purification. Kanka Vidrana Visuddhi means purification by overcoming doubt. Almost every people who haven't yet experienced a meditation may have doubt about the existence of so-called soul or everlasting soul or Atta. So-called Atta is regarded as an everlasting entity which is called a soul or self. Based on the idea of an everlasting soul, there arises the idea of a person, a being, a man or a woman, which are known as Sakaya deity. This Atta or soul or self is regarded as everlasting, never destructible, and the Hinduism and Brahmanism are in the same sense. When we rightly understand the meaning of Atta, we are able to realize the meaning of Anatta. Anatta is no Atta, Anatta in Pali. The Buddha said, Rupam Bhikkhave Anatta, Vedana Anatta, Sanya Anatta, Sankhara Anatta, Vijnana Anatta. It means all five aggregates of mental and physical phenomenon are not Atta. As you know, there are five aggregates in Buddhist philosophy. The first one is aggregate of physical material phenomenon, rupakhanda. The second one is aggregate of feeling or sensation, vedanakhanda. The third is aggregate of perception, sanyakhanda. The fourth is aggregate of mental formations, sankharakhanda. The fifth is aggregate of consciousness, Vijnana Khanda. Rupa Khanda refers to all physical phenomena, all material phenomena. Vedana Khanda refers to all five kinds of feeling or sensation. There are five kinds of feeling or sensation, vedana, sukha vedana, the feeling or sensation of physical pleasant feeling. Sukha vedana is a physical pleasant feeling or sensation. Somanasa vedana is pleasant mental feeling or sensation. Dukkha vedana is unpleasant physical sensation. Dhammanasa vedana is unpleasant mental sensation. Upekkha vedana is neutral sensation. I'll repeat five kinds of vedana: sukha vedana, somanasa vedana, dukkha vedana, dhammanasa vedana, then upekkha vedana. Pleasant mental physical sensation, pleasant physical sensation is sukha vedana. Pleasant mental sensation is somanasa vedana. Unpleasant physical sensation is dukkha vedana. Unpleasant mental sensation is dhammanasa vedana. Upekkha vedana is a neutral feeling, neutral sensation. In our mind, according to the object, we have any of these five sensations. Pleasant physical sensation means physical comfortable, physical ease, physical happiness. Somanasa vedana, pleasant mental sensation, is happiness. Pleasant mental sensation, somanasa vedana, is happiness, rapture, tranquility. Unpleasant physical sensation, dukkha vedana, is pain, stiffening, itching, numbness, any kind of physical discomfort. Unpleasant mental sensation is sorrow, worry, sadness, dejection, and so on. Upekkha vedana is a neutral feeling, neither happy nor unhappy feeling. All of these five kinds of vedana are called aggregate of a feeling or sensation, vedanakhanda. You realize these five kinds of sensation, vedana, through your own experience of your bodily and mental phenomenon and your meditation. The Buddha said, vedana bhikkhave anatta, all of these feelings or sensations are not atta, no soul. Then the third one, aggregate of mental formations, sankhara khanda, aggregate of mental formations, it's a sankhara khanda. and Buddhist philosophy, there is a consciousness chaita. When chaita arises, there are 52 mental associates or mental concomitants arising together with that chaita according to object. Depending on object, chitta or consciousness cognizes, there arises some mental concomitants depending on the object. So consciousness only one, mental concomitants, mental associates of consciousness are 52. Out of 52 mental concomitants, vedana, feeling, sanya, perception, they are separate aggregates. Vedana is a vedana khanda, aggregate of a feeling or sensation. Sanya is a sanya khanda, aggregate of a perception. The other 50 mental concomitants, chetasikas, are sankhara khanda, aggregate of mental formations. So mental concomitants or mental associates are divided, classified into three. The first one is a vedana khanda, aggregate of a feeling or sensation. The second is a sanya khanda, aggregate of a perception. Remaining 52 mental concomitants are sankhara khanda, aggregate of mental formations. Mental concomitant or mental associates are sankhara khanda, mental formation, aggregate of mental formations. Chaita consciousness is vijnana khanda, aggregates of consciousness. This is Abhidhamma, Buddhist philosophy taught by the Buddha. Please repeat after me so that you have a sound knowledge of these aggregates. Rupakhanda.
Rupakhanda.
Aggregate of material phenomena. Aggregate of material phenomena. Rupakhanda. Aggregate of mental material phenomena. Vedana khanda.
Vedana khanda.
Aggregate of a feeling or sensation.
A feeling or sensation.
Vedana khanda.
Vedana khanda.
Aggregate of a feeling or sensation.
Aggregate of feeling or sensation.
Sanya khanda.
Sanya khanda.
Aggregate of perception.
Aggregates of perception.
Sanya khanda.
Sanya khanda.
Aggregate of perception.
Aggregates of perception.
Sankhara khanda.
Sankhara khanda.
Aggregate of mental formations.
Aggregates of mental formation.
Sankhara khanda.
Sankhara khanda.
Aggregates of mental formations.
Aggregates of mental formations.
Vijnana khanda.
วิญญาณขันธ์ดา
aggregate of consciousness
aggregates of consciousness
วิญญาณขันธ์ดา
วิญญาณขันธ์ดา
aggregate of consciousness
aggregates of consciousness
The Buddha said all of these five aggregates are not atta not so-called everlasting entity no atta and anatta are in the same sense Pali scholars translate anatta into English they use the word no atta or non-self non-ego These five aggregates constitute our bodily phenomena. In our body, we find rupakhanda, physical phenomena. In our mind, we find vedanakhanda, aggregates of a feeling or sensation.In our mind, we find sanyakhanda, aggregate of perception. In our mind, we find aggregates of mental formations. In our mind, we find aggregate of consciousness. In our body, we have one khanda, rupa khanda, aggregate of a physical phenomena. In our mind, we find four aggregates, vedana khanda, sanya khanda, sankhara khanda, and vijnana khanda. Apart from these five aggregates,There's nothing in our body and mind. Only these five aggregates are called body and mind. So we say rupakhanda, aggregate of a physical phenomena. Rupa, physical phenomena is only one khanda.Mental phenomenon is four khandas, vedana, sanya, sankhara, vijnana. Usually we say one rupa khanda and four nama khanda in Pali. Four nama khanda means fourmental aggregates of mentality. When the Buddha said, Rupam Bhikkhave Anatta, it means, O monks, Rupakhanda is Anatta, not Atta. Vedana Bhikkhave Anatta means, O monks,Vedanakhanda, aggregate of feeling or sensation, is anatta, not atta. Sanya Bhikkhave Anatta, O monks, sanya, perception, aggregate of perception, is anatta, not atta. Then,Sankhara Bhikkhave Anatta means, O monks, aggregates of mental formation is Anatta, not Atta. Then, aggregate of consciousness, Vijnanakhanda, aggregate of consciousness is Anatta, not Atta.This anatta is translated non-self, not atta, non-ego. Then here, if we understand atta, we understand anatta, because anatta means no atta. Then we would need to rightly understand what atta means. Atta is a mind-created entity. Since a very long time, before the Buddha was enlightened, there is an idea of atta. There was an idea of atta. They regard this atta as an entity which is everlasting, never destructible. This everlasting entity, atta, exists in the people, in animal, and so on. According to their idea, this atta, everlasting atta, comes from Mahabrahma, creator. According to Brahmanism, before the world was created, there was a Brahma who always alive, never die. That Brahma creates the world. That Brahma created creatures, people, animals, insects, and so on, all living beings. He created a forest, he created rivers, he created a sky, clouds, and so on. In this way, all living beings, all non-living things appears in the world. All of them are created by Mahabrahma, the creator. If you want to see Mahabrahma, you can see in Bengal. That Brahma, Mahabrahma, creator, has the four phases. So he is worshipped by the people who believe in his existence. The Brahma, Mahabrahma, is called Paramatma, Paramatta. Paramatta means supreme atta. This is supreme atma, never dies. This Mahabrahma, supreme atta, he takes some attas from his body and put each atta in each individual living beings. Then the living being who has been created by Mahabrahma has atta in their body. Each atta exists in the body of living beings. That atta is called small atta. The Mahabrahma Parama atta is called big atta. But in Sanskrit text and Pali text, the small atta is called jiva atta. Jiva is life. Jiva atta means life atta. Every living being has a jiva atta in each of their body. Because of this jiva atta, they can be alive and they can live in the world, do their work. Now I am explaining to you Hindu wisdom or Brahmanism. This doctrine of Atta and Brahmanism is very clearly mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is the scripture of Hinduism. This jiva atta in each of living beings can never be destroyed. It never dies. So it's called the everlasting entity. Because it never dies. When a person, a man or a woman dies, the jiva atta which exists in that body goes out of the dead body and transmigrate to another existence, enter into another body, and he lives another life. When that second life, second existence, if a person has died, that jiva atta which exists in him does not die, so it comes out of the body of that dead body and transmigrate to another body, and it lives another life. In this way, that atta soul transmigrates one from one life to another, one life to another, successively, continuously. That is called samsara in Hinduism or Brahmanism. When that soul, atta, transmigrates from one life to another, then it's called reincarnation. But when that soul practices yoga meditation, there are yoga meditation to practice for Atta and Hindu with the adherence of Hinduism and Brahmanism.
Come again.
Yoga meditation are like a samatha meditation. When that soul or self, atta, practices yoga meditation one life after another, then eventually he attains ultimate release. At that time, he is purified from all negative mental states. When he is purified from all negative mental states, he doesn't transmigrate to another existence. When a person dies, that soul which exists in him doesn't transmigrate, because it is purified from negative mental states. It goes to Mahabrahma and united with the Mahabrahma. That unity of soul at jiva atta with Mahabrahma is called yoga in Pali. So yoga practice, the purpose of a yoga practice is for jiva adha to combine or to unite with the Mahabrahma. When the jiva adha soul, everlasting soul, comes out of the dead body of the person and go to Mahabrahma and reunited with the Mahabrahma, then he has got rid of samsara. He is no more in samsara. He has free from samsara suffering. So it's called mokha. Mokha means free from samsara. Then here, what we find is that jiva adha, everlasting soul, never dies. He transmigrates one after from one life to another life, one after another, continuously. It means that he is nature. He is nature, everlasting, sasata. So the Buddha, when he became enlightened, the Buddha said, this idea is a sasata deity, everlasting, everlasting idea, or nature idea. So it's called a sasata deity. This is sasata deity is translated into eternalism by Pali scholars. Eternalism. Eternalism is the idea of everlasting entity, never died, eternally exists. Then some of Buddhists also has the idea of soul, which is known as life. Some of the Buddhists have the idea there's a life, everlasting life in each body of human beings. That life can never be destroyed. That life never dies. When the person where that life exists dies, then the life doesn't die. This life comes out of the dead body and goes to another body and lead another life. In this way, Dhammalom Bhava, life after death appears, they said. This life, so-called everlasting life, is called soul or self, vijnan. In this way, there is the word of vijnan. But the Buddha said, this idea is the same as sasata, deity, and Brahmanism. So this is also everlasting, the idea of everlasting entity, so it's also sasata deity. The round view of eternalism. Then, when a person has not yet practiced meditation and has not yet experienced the cause and effect of the bodily and mental phenomenon, he may have the idea of everlasting soul or self-life in his body. But some people has a doubt about the existence of this everlasting soul, everlasting life, everlasting vijnan. but they are not able to judge. There is no everlasting self also because they have no personal experience of impermanent mental and physical phenomena, anicca. Then they have doubt whether there is an everlasting soul or self or not. They cannot judge. Then, when they practice meditation and their concentration gradually deep enough, they experience some mental and physical phenomenon, so to say, sabhava lakana, specific characteristics of a mental and physical phenomena. At that moment, they have doubt. There may not be so-called everlasting soul or self or atta, because he experienced the process of a mental and physical phenomenon only. With the deeper concentration, he experiences a series of tiny broken movements arising and passing away one after another when he observes rising, falling movement of the abdomen. He experiences just a series of tiny broken movements without being conscious of his bodily form or his self. Then he come to judge. There is only mental phenomenon and physical phenomena. The process of a mental phenomenon and physical phenomena. Apart from this dual process of a mentality and physicality, there is nothing he can judge. But he is not yet sure, so when he practices meditation and when his concentration is deeper and deeper, then he comes to realize because there's a rising movement, there's the mind notes it. Because there's a falling movement, there's the mind notes it. In this way, he comes to experience cause and effect. The object is the cause, the subject is the effect. In this way, he comes to realize a cause and effect. And when he notes in walking meditation, intention, lifting, pushing, dropping, intention, lifting, pushing, dropping, sometimes he does not find intention, then the intention doesn't arise. Then the foot doesn't move, lift, doesn't move forward, doesn't move downward. Then he comes to realize because there's no intention, there's no movement. Then again, when he notes intention, lifting, pushing, dropping, intention, pushing, lifting, pushing, dropping, his foot automatically lifted it, even though he didn't put effort to lift it. The foot is lifted by itself. The same way the foot is pushed forward by itself. Then he come to realize there's no me, there's no person who lift the foot, who pushed it forward. Then what's the cause that the foot moves forward, lift, moves upward, moves forward? Then he come to realize it's an intention that causes the foot lifts, pushes it forward, and drops it down. In this way, he comes to begin to realize cause and effect, the intention is the cause, the movement of the food, the movement is effect. Then he come to realize that the whole world is just the conditionality, the nature of a cause and effect. Then he has no idea of I or you, a self or a soul, which is everlasting. I mean, sorry, interpreter can interpret and things. Because meditator experiences cause and effect. So he has overcome the doubt about the existence of a soul. There's no soul. He can judge. Now what the exist is this cause and effect. He can judge. Then he overcome the doubt about the existence of an everlasting soul. Then this is called Kankha Vidrana Visuddhi, purification by overcoming doubt. So when we have to explain the very long time, but when a meditator experiences this cause and effect, it's very clear to him in a short time. So try to note every intention before every action and movement in the walking meditation and daily activities also, so that the meditators experience the cause and effect very clearly and overcome there's no everlasting soul or self, person or being who walks, who lifts the food, who pushes it forward, who drops it down. In this way, through their experience, they will be able to judge there's no everlasting soul or self, atta. There's another, as the Buddha taught us. So may all of you rightly understand impermanence and nature, suffering or unsatisfactoriness, dukkha. No soul, no self, no person, no being, another, often mental and physical phenomena through your own experience and meditation, and attain the cessation of suffering, nibbana.
Sathu, sathu, sathu.